the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, one and all. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast at William Hill. Forgive me for missing out last week. I was busy at Cheltenham, and Rob, you were busy with cricket, really, weren't you? Reality Rob Dixon's on the line.
No, Lee. I was ready for you.
Right, okay.
In fact, I sat there by my phone all of Friday.
Sorry about that.
The phone didn't ring.
No, I'm sorry.
There was no text. There was no email. There was nothing.
And I thought we'd spoken beforehand.
No.
And said we won't do one this week unless you hear from me. Well, I apologise to everyone then. In that case, didn't miss an awful lot. To be honest, did we?
No, I would have had words of wisdom, I'm sure, but yeah. No, we didn't miss anything.
We are looking at The Voice, we're looking at Jeremy Clarkson, we're going to have a little chat about some birds, and maybe a bit of Strictly Come Dancing, do you think, Rob, as well?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's start with The Voice then. Yes, let's start with The Voice. We are at the first live show stage, aka the quarterfinals. So we're down to three in each category after the knockouts, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And we have Ricky Wilson as the 11-10 favourite to be the winning manager. Will I Am 9-4, Rita Ora 9-2, and Sir Tom Jones, the outsider of the pack, at 5-1. The reason I've done it that way, Rob, is because we can go through each of the artists in the individual categories. That's probably the best way to do it. The way this will work on Saturday night is that when they've sung, their mentor, the coach, whatever they call them, will give one of their acts a fast pass. The other two will go to the public vote. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
It is.
Let's start with Ricky Wilson's team then, shall we? I'll give you the outright prices as we go through this. Stevie McCrory, who's the favourite to win the whole show, at 2-1. You've also got Emmanuel Nwamadi, 9-4 to be the team Ricky winner. His outright price is 5-1. The third of Ricky's acts and the outsider of the three is Autumn Sheriff, who's 14-1 in the outrights. Rob, everything we've seen so far, Rob, would suggest to me that whatever they sing, Stevie McCrory gets the fast pass here. Would you agree?
Yeah, I can't really see anything other than that. He certainly has been looked like the chosen one all the way through the audition stage and the knockouts and the battle rounds. And to be quite honest, I've not seen anything to suggest otherwise. And even though Ricky gave Emmanuel the first, when he was announcing which three we're going through, he announced Emmanuel first. I still think that. But Stevie's the chosen one.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? You don't know how calculated that is in The Voice, do you?
Yeah, it's just been it's interesting, but we might know more of sort of end of the series if he does have to make a choice between the two, which he probably won't this week. I expect both of them to go through, and Autumn to be the one that goes. But obviously, if it gets down to the public vote the week after, the public will be choosing which one of those two make it through to the final.
Yeah, Autumn is interesting, Rob, because you know we're kind of almost the way we're talking here, we're discounting them. It's just a two-horse race between the two guys. But I thought she was very nervous, but he really likes her, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought she was quite shouty, but it would have been a lovely sort of betting heat, really, to see which one. Obviously, the front two were certs to go through, but sort of Claudia Rose, Autumn, even Hannah Simons as well, put in a good effort, and it was really tough, I think, for him to pick that third act.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think Stevie McCrory is the chosen one in that one. I mean, I was really interested to watch. I thought it was quite noticeable. I don't know what you thought. I know you've backed Stephen McCrory, and I do actually think he'll probably win the whole show, but I thought it was interesting how much echo or whatever it is, reverb, whatever they put on his voice during his performance. I thought it was quite noticeable how much help he got in comparison to some of the other artists. I didn't really notice it that much. It was more of an X Factor performance for me, his, the way he was almost helped along a little bit. And I'm not technical. I don't know the technicalities of it, Rob, you know, from a singing point of view, but it did strike me as odd. If you're watching back on YouTube, you'll know what I mean. There's a lot of echo on his voice.
Yeah, I've not I've not watched it back yet, and I only watched these a couple of times before the weekend again, and I haven't got back to it yet. But it'd be interesting if that's what you say, that he seems to have had a little bit more help. He's obviously had a bit more of a backstory and everything, and everything seems to have been set up for him to win so far. Now, there doesn't seem to be... If this had happened, as you said, on The Voice, I think alarm bells would be ringing. If you remember Andrea Faustini on The X Factor, everybody thought at the beginning it was sort of geared towards him being shown as favouritism, and then it was a sort of anti-vote and everything, a de-ramp.
Mm.
Pretty much from the live shows onwards, in the fact they got him dressed up in gold and everything. And you're not going to get that with The Voice.
No.
And I think they've been a little bit more subtle, The Voice. And I think the general people who watch The Voice tend not to be the same who watch X Factor. And they might not see it. But
We will. Will I Am, as I said, was the second favourite in the coaches to win. His remaining acts are Sheena McHugh, who is the second favourite at 4-1. He's also got in his category Lucy O'Byrne, who's the classical singer. She's priced up at 7-1 to win the whole show, which is interesting. Will I Am's really keen on a classical artist breaking through into the pop world, I guess. And Vikesh Champanari is 6-1 to be Team Will's winning act, but he's priced up at 16-1 to be the winner of the whole show. I must admit that I really like him. I mean, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that I really liked him, and he's got this kind of sympathy vote where no one from his family ever comes to support him. You wonder how much support he'll get from the people at home. In a lot of ways, he fits the kind of the bill for a voice winner, doesn't he? If he could get through this bit and he's down to the final, he's kind of that kind of guy who almost comes up on the rails and you think, hang on, he's in the final, he could win this.
Exactly.
I mean, look at some of the previous winners. None of the obvious choices really win, do they?
No, not at all. And you just think, you've got that likability factor that you feel he probably needs. There's not much difference. Vocally, there's not much difference between him and Sheena's. Sheena's the better performer, obviously, with Lucy. Lucy's probably the one out of the three who could make a career outside the show.
Mm.
But for the here and now, then sort of Vikesh is up there, and based on the outright prices, there's probably sort of good value in Vikesh winning Team Will.
Yeah,
but it's so difficult. It's a horrid. It's probably the worst category. It's the worst mentor he can have, because the other two are really good, and it's actually a really tough one to call who actually wins out the three.
It's intriguing, isn't it, that you know, Will's every series, I think, maybe I might be wrong in this, but every series he seems to have a real liking for the classical artist and never quite finds a way to push him through. You wonder if they got through to the final, Rob, how much of a support out there, you know, from people, from classical music fans. You know, it's like, you know, are there enough of those to really push an artist if they're in the final, for instance, right the way to the winner of the whole show?
Obviously, there's obviously a market out there. Obviously, Old Devo, Calabro won last year's Britain's Got Talent. That was an act. When we get onto Eurovision, there's an operatic act sort of near the top of the market in that as well. And you just think it's such a lot. When you're showing it sort of 6-7 o'clock on a Saturday night, There's a nice factor of put it on then, and I think that's why Calabro did so well. And I can see Lucy Byrne going really well, but I mean, as I said, it's up against Sheena McHugh, who, to be quite honest, is a worthy second favourite, and if the field book had probably been closer, we could have probably almost made Sheena McHugh first.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's the best of the lot. I think, you know, every time she sings, everyone seems to sit up and notice. And, you know, while maybe Vikesh surprised everyone and got a standing ovation, and others did as well, I think she's the one that when she stands up, all the judges think, right, here we go, this is the best singer. They've already said she's the best singer in the competition. It's called The Voice. She's just a little too obvious, I think. Rita Ora's team is Clark Carmody, who is the 12-1 shot to win the outrights. He's drifted quite a bit in the betting after his performance in the knockouts. Wasn't too good. Karis Thomas is 11-8 to win Rita's category and 12-1 in the betting as well. I think she's a little bit of value in that category betting there. I think she could well pip Clark Commodity to being the top dog there. And Joe Wolford, who's pretty forgettable really, Rob, isn't he? I mean, he's 25-1 to win the whole show. Nice guy and all that, but she seems to have a real bond with Karis, doesn't she? And that's what makes me think if it's a very tight decision for her, I think she's got an emotional attachment to her. I think she would go through ahead of Clark Carmody if it was down to Rita Ora, and actually if it was down to the public as well. I think there'd be more sympathy for her being Welsh and all that than for Clark Carmody, who comes across as a little bit distant, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest performance really by Rita in this. She's not really left herself, even at the knockout stage. There weren't many real potential winners, and Clark was probably the weakest one of the three last week. And she admitted herself that he got through based more on past performance than what he'd done that week. I think Karis is strong. What price is Karis to win the
12-1 to win the whole thing, 11-8 to win that,
I'd rather bat the 11-8 to win.
I can see her in the final, Rob. I really can.
I think she survives this week. I think one of the boys go this week. I think it's probably Joe over Clark. Whoever doesn't go this week will go next week. But yeah, I can definitely see Karis in the final, which obviously to get to the final would be a winner for our 11-8.
Yeah. Finally, Tom Jones is the 5-1 outsider to win the show with one of his acts. Howard Rose is priced up 8-1 to win the show. He's a 1-2 favourite to be the top performer from Team Tom. Sasha Simone, who I've liked for a while, is 20-1, still a big price. And Laura Lee is his third contestant, 33-1. It really strikes me when I was looking at his lineup, Rob, on the knockouts. I thought, wow, you know, look at his team. It's chock full of talent. And the three that he's left with, actually, it doesn't look that strong now. It's weird. No, I honestly thought that Daniel would go through. I thought that Sharon Murphy would go through. I was really surprised when it was Howard Rose that he picked at the end.
I can see. I mean, we saw decent money for Howard last week, so that was the sort of reason I think he was going to get. Obviously, it's pre-recorded, so yeah, you kind of think that Howard was going to get through. Sasha, I think, was a third to get through. But Laura Lee was quite a left field for me selection. I could have picked any one of Rosa, Sharon, or Daniel Duke to get through instead of them, I can't see Laura lasting more than the first week, but you never know.
No, you don't. Rob, shall we each pick our two to go through, or our one to go home from this this first live show?
Yeah.
Ricky Wilson's category then. You got Stevie, Emmanuel, and Autumn. Who goes?
I think this is quite easy. I think Autumn goes from this category.
I'm going to go against you there. I'm going to go for Emmanuel. I think Autumn will deliver a really impressive performance. I think Emmanuel might be a little bit samey. Will I Am's team, we've got Sheena, Lucy, and Vikesh.
Tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. By the way, I think I've said all along that I think Ricky Wilson will win the show this series. But if you come into this fresh now, I think 9-4 for Will I Am to win it is very good. Got some very good artists.
I think the song choices are really important for our Will gets them through. I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think Sheena goes.
Wowzers! I'm going Lucy on that one. Sheena and Vikesh to make it through. Rita Ora, Clark, Karis, and Joe.
I'm going to take a pot here, and I think Clark goes. What would be the value of the two? I'd probably rather back Clark. I don't think there's much choice between Clark and Joe.
Yeah, I'll go for Joe here to go home there. I think Clark will be better than he was last week, and like I said, she really likes Karis by the looks of it. And finally, Tom Jones' category: Howard, Sasha, and Lara. I think we're probably both going to be agreed on this one.
Yeah, I think both. Both should go for Laura. Howard quite strong in the knockouts, and I think Sasha's been the standout act of Tom Jones's Tom Jones's team pretty much since the start of the series.
Yeah, I'll go with Lara as well. I think that's the most obvious of the four, and even that was not that obvious, to be honest with you. Fascinating betting heat, though, Rob. I mean, you know, Stevie McCrory is a little short, in my opinion, in the betting at 2-1 still, given what we know about favourites in this betting heat over the years. But I mean, there's plenty of value around. You know, it wouldn't be a big surprise if you get down to the final and you know one of those double figure prices in there somewhere. You know, maybe in autumn or a big cash if they really knock it out of the park. I think Caris is probably the one for me, though, who could well make it through. That way you'd have a Scottish finalist in Stevie, you'd have Sheena representing England with a Scottish sounding surname, you'd have Caris, and who else would be in the final? One from Howard Rose, Sasha and Lara. Maybe Sasha. But she's a big price, though. Very good. It's just that whole nervous thing with Sasha, isn't it? It's wearing a little bit thin.
Yeah, it's just it.
not that she isn't nervous, because she's shaking like a leaf, but like...
Yeah, what Howard does more, isn't it? And if it is going to be a Stevie Sheena... who did we say? Stevie Sheena, Caris. Could be another boy. Wouldn't surprise me if it is Howard.
Yeah.
Look, again, it comes down to... At no stage in this series yet have we decided to have a public feel about any of these. And this is the whole market...
Exactly.
Could be completely wrong based on
it could be, but then you know what we've said all along, Rob, and the reason you backed him was that one thing we do know about these sort of shows is that with that strong Scottish geographical support, you know that Stevie's going to get votes. Of all of them, you can guarantee that Stevie will get votes, can't you? Because it's, you know, because we know about that. You could argue the same for someone like Caris, you know, a Welsh vote, but we haven't seen that much, have we, in the past, really? And of the others, I mean, I don't think it's hard to know, like you say, it's hard to know who people are warming to. I think, like I say, maybe I'd warm to Caris more than Clark in Rita's category.
I mean, we've had quite a few, because it's a tricky one, because you've tended to go, the previous years, we've tended to go for the best act. That's how it's always sort of priced up, and which is the best act, which is not the best act commercially, not which act is going to have millions of singles and be a worldwide sensation, because none of these will be. It might be harsh, but it's true. You tend to look at, the here and now, which one's going to be that. You always look at the one coming up on the outside. I mean, look at people like a couple of years ago, somebody like Liam McFall, who was the bona fide a pop star, but it didn't sort of link with the BBC sort of viewing demographic, and she got beat, and we've had, I think it's three odds on shots beat in the 3 years of this series. So if you're on Stevie at a good price, then if there's a cash out button, then be heading to that maybe if he gets to the final.
It's going to be fascinating. I'm really intrigued to see how Vikesh goes this week. And obviously, you know, you could well see, you know, quite a lot of British Asian support as well. Of course, he's a British Asian singer, isn't he? I mean, he's from London, which doesn't usually help you in terms of a geographical vote, does it? That's usually the poison chalice, isn't it? Being from London in these sort of things.
But we've had the X Factor sort of just change that around, didn't it? A little bit this time, and it's obviously the southern act, the regional act seem to have got the better. But I do think if you've got a strong sort of Scottish link and the Welsh link do tend to be a lot stronger than previous ones. So
especially with Tom Jones, I suppose, on there.
Yeah. Especially with Tom Jones, maybe if sort of Caris, yeah, it's just that miss, isn't it? If Caris had been in Tom's team, then it maybe would have been a bit shorter, but we'll have to wait and see.
We will indeed. Again, you know, check out all the forums in the build-up. We're recording this on Wednesday, so if anything massive happens in the meantime, then obviously...
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got no song choices yet either, so that could obviously impact...
Yeah, it doesn't usually, does it, to be honest? It's not, you know, it's not one of those things that usually makes you think, wow, that's, you know, it's not like the X Factor where they chuck them under a bus with a terrible song.
No, because to be quite honest, the staging in this is pretty much the same throughout, isn't it? There's not as much choreography, or any choreography mainly, so we're waiting to see.
Just one other very, very quick point on the from last weekend is the YouTube views, which we haven't touched on too much this series, but it gives you a bit of an idea as to what you're looking for. You're looking at the actual views on YouTube for the knockout performers who got through. Karis Thomas was one of the highest, 80,000 views. Vikesh Champanari got 113,000. Esme Dentis, who got knocked out, of course, 129,000. And then you're looking at Sheena McHugh with 151,000 YouTube views, being being the top dog, if you're looking at that. Stephen McCrory, interestingly, only got just under 70,000 views. So, you know, double the amount Sheena McHugh got. I think she should be five, Rob, I think, you know, but I do think she's too obvious to win it as well. So it's a tricky one, really is. Let's move on to the Strictly specials. Who will appear in Strictly 2015? Really just a quick check, see if there's been any gambles here. Rob, Hetty Bywater, 4-1. Carol Kirkwood, sixes. So is Graham Swan and Mike Tyndall. Adrian Childs and Joey Essex are 8-1 with John Altman. Chris Evans, Kevin Peterson, Louise Minchin, Michael Owen, all nines. 10-1 for David Walliams and Chris Moyles, John Turode and Tim Henman. And then 12s for Danny Dyer, Phil Taylor, Sam Bailey, Shane Ritchie, Steph McGovern. And 14-1 for AP McCoy, Evan Davis, Katie Price, Michael Portillo. I could go on. Naga Munchetti, Piers Morgan and Sophie Roth. We'll call it we'll draw a line at 16, shall we? I've done half the market already.
Yeah, a few gambles.
Nick Clegg's 100-1, by the way, which is brilliant.
No Nick Clegg. AP McCoy, 33-1 into 14. Hetty Bywater, 8-1 into 4. That's the two gambles this week.
Thank you very much for that. Top Gear has been all over the news recently, I don't know if it's you or the PR team have priced up some specials here. Jeremy Clarkson to present any episode in the 23rd series of Top Gear. Yes, 1-2. No, 6-4. Every journalist I've spoken to says he will never come back to the show. But, you know, things can change, of course. To replace Jeremy Clarkson as a Top Gear presenter, we've got Chris Evans at the head of the market at 7-2. Steve Coogan, there's been some rumours about maybe doing it as Alan Partridge at 5-1. Coogan's obviously a very big fan of the show. Johnny Vaughan, 11-2. Dermot O'Leary, sixes. Might be a nice vehicle for Dermot O'Leary, seeing as he's probably going to... has it been announced that he's leaving the X Factor?
Not confirmed yet, I don't think.
Eddie Irvine 6-1, Chris Moyles 8s with the Eddie. Is this the same list as the Strictly list?
Yeah,
8-1. Eddie Jordan 8-1. Tiff Needle is 8-1. Anton Deck 9s. Martin Brundle 9-1. Be interesting if they did go for like someone with a background in cars. Who's Tiff Needle?
Tiff Needle, he was a former presenter of Top Gear.
Never heard of him.
Years and years ago.
There's been a lot of chat about a female presenter, Jodie Kidd at 12-1.
Yeah, could be. Jodie Kidd at 12, Susie Perry 14.
Yeah.
I suppose Susie Perry does a lot of other stuff.
Yeah,
thing, and you don't really know sort of Jodie Kidd's calendar. I just wonder. I don't know. I'd like to see Steve Coogan do it personally. Johnny Vaughan, I think, would be my pick if I had to do it. But I mean, I'm probably convinced a bit more than a lot of people that Clarkson will stay. I think the fact that it's BBC's biggest export show, pretty much, I think, keeps him in. Though, obviously, on another final warning.
Yes.
The problem that Jeremy Clarkson has was, and I found this out a few weeks ago, is that 2 years ago, he sold the rights to Top Gear. It was basically his production company.
Yeah, was it?
He sold those production rights to the BBC.
Yeah.
So obviously, he can. If this had happened 2 years ago, he could have just said, "Right, up and leave and take Top Gear with him," and pretty much put it on any channel he wants. But now, obviously, he sort of lose every right that he'd have to.
I don't think he's struggling for cash, Rob.
No, but that includes that there's a lot of money they make, obviously, doing the live tours. They'd lose doing the live tours overseas and things. So,
I think if it hadn't been for those financial implications, it'd have been gone well before now. Who gets away with allegedly hitting someone at work? But, you do that to one of your trader friends. And, they'd hit you back, first of all.
They'd hit me back a lot harder. But
you'd be sacked. I remember when you hit me on the specials podcast that time, and I disagreed with you about X Factor.
You deserved it. The problem is, though, now, if he does get away with it and they carry on, then to me he's got a sort of golden handshake for the rest of his career, because surely he can't do anything else. He was lucky to survive the racism allegations of, obviously, to get to this stage where he allegedly has he's hit a producer. So we'll have to wait and see.
Fascinating, and good fun as well. Also on the on the specials pages, we've got FHM Sexiest Women. That's not far away now, Rob, is it? That's around late April that's usually announced. Yeah, I'm still waiting to see when FHM announced that Michelle Keegan's on the front of their kind of March or April issue, whatever it was, April issue now. 7-2 favourite. Jennifer Lawrence, 9-2. Margot Robbie is 11-2. Emily Ratajkowski is 9-1. I keep checking in on her every week. She's still beautiful, Rob. Kaylee Kuoko-Sweeting, however you pronounce that, is 14s. Kate Upton and Rihanna also 14-1. Mila Kunis 16-1. From Sexy Women to British Birds, the Robin is 2-1 favourite to be Britain's national bird. This is a new thing that's been in the news this week, where I don't know why Britain needs a bird, but apparently someone's decided that it does. The Robin is a favourite. Barn Owl is 4-1. Hen Harrier, I don't even know what a Hen Harrier is, 6-1. Kingfisher 6-1. Blue Tit 10-1. Red Kite 10-1. Blackbird 12s with Wren, and Mute Swan 14s, and Puffin is 14-1. Now, this is open to vote on, isn't it, Robert?
Yep.
VoteNationalBird.com. So this is something that you can influence, and I like it. I like a betting market that you can influence.
Not a fix.
It doesn't give you the current results, does it? That's always my... I think I'd vote for... I think of those, I would probably go for Puffin. Looks good. I do like a Kingfisher, but
you know what? I was thinking Kingfisher. I quite like King.
But Blackbird, probably Blackbird. Nah, well, can't be a Blackbird, can it?
Live on Kingfisher Road. So
I do like a barn owl. Actually, I like an owl. So I'm going to vote right now for the barn owl and see if they give us any indication of how who's winning in the rush. I don't support any of these other. Let's tick other. You have to say who you submit. It's submitting. It's whirring round. I voted for Barn Owl, Rob. This is excellent. That says thanks for your vote. Don't give me a...
Thanks for your vote. You are the first person.
Yeah. Now what I'm going to do here is see how... if we can manipulate it. Let's have a look at... let's vote for Kingfisher, shall we? Vote. Enter your email. I'm always interested if you can vote multiple times, Rob. I'm not saying this is a fix or anything like that, but it's always interesting.
I'm not sure the general public's going to vote multiple times. Well, Your vote might have won this.
You can vote multiple times. I've just voted for Kingfisher and the Barn Owl. Always interesting, I think. Let's leave it at that, shall we?
Yeah.
Glastonbury specials to headline Glastonbury. Obviously, Kanye's been announced as featuring on the Pyramid Stage, hasn't he?
One of the days.
This is for Sunday, isn't it?
Not the Sunday.
Been a bit of a gamble on Coldplay, I understand. 7-2 now.
Yeah, Coldplay last couple of days. There's a few that we've seen. We've seen Money for Adele, 33-1 into 12. Coldplay 20-1 into 7-2 now. And Prince, wherever he is in the betting, 25-1
into 2. Interesting.
It's 20.
You'd imagine, given that they've gone with Kanye for, is it for Saturday, I think it is? And obviously, there's always a bit of a furore about having a non-guitar based artist on, as there was when Jay-Z was it Jay-Z or was it Beyonce who did it? I can't remember. One of the two. You'd think they'd go with a guitar based band for the Sunday night, wouldn't you? So
it puts in your muse. AC/DC were always being linked. With
They were, weren't they?
For years and years. Noel Gallagher's Iceland Birds. Not sure.
I don't see him as a big headliner. Do you?
No, I'd like to see Muse do it.
Yeah, Muse, 10-1.
16-1, I think the way everyone I've spoken to has been to this Queen and Adam Lambert concert.
Everyone loves it, don't they?
Absolutely loved it. 16-1.
That's a big price, you know, Rob.
Yeah, wouldn't be the worst bet in the world, that.
I wonder what their schedule's like and if it fits into their schedule. I'll have a quick look at that one as well. Interesting market, that one. Keep your ear to the ground on those. Elsewhere, we've got the Royal Specials on babies and such. The next Pope, Folio Prize, and outright betting on the Eurovision Song Contest. Been a little bit of movement here because songs are being picked, Rob, basically.
Yeah.
What about UK's song? I mean, it's madness, isn't it? It sounds great. Not the band madness. It just sounds. It sounds like a novelty record, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's. I described it. I think when they announced it, I described it as a sort of. It was a sort of musical, like a kids' musical, and I do like it. There's a lot of ballads.
Yeah, it kind of grows on you a little bit, doesn't it? When you listen to it.
When you go through the songs, and I've been through the songs in the last few weeks. If you need a website to go through them. Friend of mine, esctips.com, very good website. It's got previews of the songs and all the YouTube clips that you need. So try that. We're hoping to get Gavin, who runs the website, on sometime before Eurovision to chat for longer than we can. But
it's good. It is. I mean, that is like it's like a one stop shop for a Eurovision fan.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It?
Everything so you need there. That's where you need to.
You better come on now after those two plugs, by the way.
Well, we don't have to offer him a free bet now because I've plugged it enough. But it's Electro Velvet. The song's called "Still in Love with You." It's not been we've not voted for it. It's been picked by the BBC. But it is different. I do like the fact that it's slightly quirky and it's like a sort of 1920s swing.
Really, it's different. It's really different, isn't it? I tell you what, we can actually have a listen to it, Rob. If I can, I think should we do that? We could do this with the voice, but this is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, don't get on the wrong train. Don't fly in an old plane. Don't go out in the pouring rain. You might get wet. I'd be upset. You're bound to get sneezes or nasty diseases. Take good care when I'm not there. I'm still in love with you.
While I'm on vacation. Yeah, better not play any more than that because they get a bit shirty about it when you play more than 30 seconds. But
we've probably had people turn off now as well.
Yeah, so but, that's your vision.
I mean, all the songs have been announced now, so I think the show is sometime in back end of May. Sweden are favourites at 5-2. They announced Mats Lemelo to represent them last week. Now, he won the national selection, the one that we were betting on the Melody Festival, and he won by a bigger winning margin than ABBA won when they represented Sweden. Jeez. So obviously, you don't know. It's difficult to know what he sort of beat in that. I've been told it wasn't one of the best shows.
Right.
One of the best years for the show. So it's difficult to know how it's going to translate when it gets to Vienna, but. We'll have to wait and see, but their favourite over Estonia, Italy. Italy's the operatic act, Il Volo. They've got a pass through to the final for being one of the bigger countries. So they're singing Grand Amour, which is great love.
Very good. I'm looking forward to it already, Eurovision. Really whetting the appetite. Should we call it a day there, Rob?
No, because you've been sarcastic then about Eurovision.
No.
You know how much I like it.
I was fully sincere. That was a very sincere point I was making there.
Sorry
if it came across as insincere.
No. There you go.
Yeah. I am genuinely looking forward to Eurovision. Thanks, Rob.
Pleasure, mate.
We will reconvene next week for the second live show on The Voice. If you haven't bet on any of the markets that we've discussed today on the specials pages, then very best of luck. Don't forget, if you're into your politics, as we build up to the general election, we're doing a politics podcast every week in the build-up. Only 50 days to go as we record this till the general election, believe it or not. So that's available on Tuesdays with Graham Sharp and myself. So check that out on Audio Boom, on iTunes, or at williamhill.com.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.